a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into another edition of the Jazz Notes Podcast, sponsored by the KSL News Radio app. I don't know if it's sponsored by them, but at least it's on the KSL
News
Radio app. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, places like that. You can find it on the KSL News Radio. You can probably find episodes on the Facebook page. You can find us just about anywhere. And you can find this podcast also on the KSL News Radio sports section of our KSL News Radio page. So we're everywhere. And joining me today, I'm not by myself today. My name's Cleon Wall. Joining me today is Spencer Hall.
Good to be here.
We haven't had you on in a long time. It was like we took summer off or something like that.
Well, I'm completely unqualified to talk about them now, too, so
No, Spencer Hall, he's the guy who started what, Salt City Hoops.
That's right.
He was the Salt City Hoops guy, .com, and so that's why we think he qualifies. But more than anything, he qualifies because he's fan extraordinaire of Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz.
That's exactly right.
Exactly, and that's why we bring him in. And speaking of the Utah Jazz, we're getting closer to the season, and you know, the past couple of days, we've had something very interesting come out. It's Sports Illustrated's top 100 players, Spencer.
You love a list.
I love lists. I love it when we get rankings like this. This is fun. It's fun stuff to talk about. In the 50s, the highest Jazz player, at least in the top 100, is Ricky Rubio, number 57. Joe Ingles, number 56. By the way, I love what they said about Joe Ingles. They said everything perfect about him, what you would love about Joe Ingles. He does just a little bit of everything for this team. And he's one of the smartest players probably on the team, too.
Doesn't it seem, speaking of Joe Ingles, doesn't it seem like his reputation has changed a little bit since that profile recently that talked about him growing up in Australia, going to that prestigious basketball academy? I think all of us look at him like he's some sort of plumber who just sort of plays basketball. But he's been raised in a laboratory. I mean, this guy has grown man experience from the time he was about 14, 15 years old, living alone, playing against people older than him. He had his food prepared for him, his sleep schedule, his training. I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise to us that he is elite. I mean, he doesn't look like it, but he's a tall human. He's had elite training. It's no wonder that coaches trust him and that he's been able to do some of the things he does. He's turning into one of the best players in the league.
No,
it was hard to say, but
it surprises me. I guess the one thing that you still find is that he can create for other players. He's not a great about creating his own shot, and that's not a knock against him. I still think the one thing I like about him is that Joe will do whatever he has to do to get this team to win. And if the Jazz went out and got a small forward right now to replace him, he'd be like, okay, I'll go to the bench. I'm fine with that. You know, that's just Joe. I mean, he just really wants to win, but he's smart about it, too.
Yeah.
He's no dummy.
And culturally, he's become such an important part of this team. And we've talked about it over and over, but this team is special the way they interact online, the way that they carry themselves in the community. The identity that this Jazz team has, I think, is based a lot upon the kind of the attitude that Joe Ingles brings to it.
Very much so. Number 51, Derek Favors. Are you a little surprised that Derek Favors is ahead of Ricky Rubio and also Joe Ingles? Are you a little surprised that he actually made it to number 51? They consider him the 51st best player
in the league? No, I think there's a lot of evidence that shows that he's part of the backbone of this team. I mean, there's a lot of evidence that shows that the way he plays defense is a big part of what the Jazz were able to do, which was almost historic that second half of the season. So I think a healthy Favors is a huge part of what the Jazz are trying to do.
And then coming in at number 34 is Donovan Mitchell, 34th best player in the league. He beats out Jason Tatum. That one kind of surprised me a little bit because of who Jason Tatum plays for, big market, what he did, making it to the conference finals last year. Yeah, he looked like a rookie at times, but there were a lot of times he didn't look like a rookie. But they just see something in Donovan Mitchell right now, at least Sports Illustrated does, that they think, as of right now, he's a little bit better than Jason Tatum.
Well, I mean, I think everybody's seeing that. The NBA is using Donovan Mitchell as the face of the rising generation of players. I mean, he's clearly a sensation on the court, off the court. What that also tells me is that Rudy Gobert is going to be in that top 30 somewhere along the line. So, which shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, the Jazz should have a top 30 player. I would actually put Donovan, you know how I feel about Donovan Mitchell.
Yes,
I'd put him
yes.
higher up. But I'm curious to see where they're going to put. We don't have that last 30 yet.
Correct.
But I'm curious to see where they're going to put Rudy Gobert in that top 30.
Think he's 30. Top
20? Oh, I think absolutely. I think what the Jazz did, like I said, it was historic from that second half of the season. I mean, they were on a level of some of the best Golden State runs, which is kind of crazy to even say. But they, if they can kind of maintain what they did that second half of the season through a whole season, they're going to put together a spectacular run.
This is what Mitchell, or this is what Sports Illustrated had to say about Mitchell. They say his next steps, improving as a three-point shooter, getting to the line more frequently, and growing as a facilitator, are refinements rather than quantum leaps. Basically, they say, this guy gets it. He knows what he's doing on this team. It's just now improving season by season. And I think we all saw that. All of us, I think we were hoping he would be good and that he'd be a good guy coming off the bench. And then he's completely shot past all of our expectations right now. And we're all expecting something great. I hope that doesn't weigh on him too much. I wouldn't think it would, though.
It doesn't seem like it does.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like the pressure weighs on him. I know when he started to kind of take off, it was like our version of Lin Sanity last year.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to some people with the team, and they said our number one concern right now is that we don't put too much on him, that we don't, you know, put the community pressure on him. Everybody wants a piece of him right now. And they went to great lengths to not have him feel pressure to have to be everywhere and do everything. But it seems like it's just natural to him. It's not an act. It's not anything he's trying to put on. And I think it is important that they put some boundaries up around him. But it looks like it's just who he is and what he's doing. And I don't know if you saw in the Salt Lake Tribune today, there was a little aside in a Gerke article where he was talking about in the future, he was talking about nuclear waste management with Energy Solutions, you know. And he was saying that Spencer Cox is going to be the governor and he's going to rename the state Spiderville after the 8th championship. And that's the future I want. I want 8 championships from the Utah Jazz. I want the state renamed Spiderville. And I want Spencer Cox in there as the governor.
Oh, my goodness.
Of Utah.
Reality needs to reality needs to set in with Spencer. Okay, so that brings us to a little game we're going to play here on the Jazz Notes podcast. We're going to call it If Then. Okay, we're going to start out with I should have some cool music for this. And you know what?
It'd be nice.
I don't. I don't have any cool music for this. I've got nothing. So we're just going to have to go play. Maybe I'll find something later. If you're hearing music underneath right now, that's because I added it later. Okay, so we're going to play If Then. And my first question for Spencer is, if Donovan Mitchell averages 24 points a game this season, for the entire season, then...
The Jazz have the 3 seed in the playoffs. And he's talked in MVP conversations.
Since sometimes I'm the Debbie Downer on this podcast... I'm going to play the anti-hero here. What am I going to play? The guy that's just going to be negative. Okay, we'll just go with that. I'll say if he averages 24 points a game, Jess could be in big trouble, Spencer. Why? It means that maybe other guys aren't picking up the scoring load, and he feels like he needs to do a little bit more. Or maybe it means other guys are injured. I
interesting.
Know.
Interesting.
Don't talk about injuries. I know. Don't talk about injuries in the preseason.
So you're saying Donovan Mitchell's success is going to come at the expense of the rest of the team. So you almost don't want him to have a career year.
No, I want him to, but I want him to also play still within the team structure. And I think that if he's shooting more,
so you think there's a risk of him becoming a gunner, kind of looking for his own and forgetting about his teammates.
Yeah, that's a guess on my part.
Okay,
that's a guess. Okay, so that's kind of what we're looking for here.
Okay,
so Spencer says 3 seed. I thought maybe you'd go 2 seed. Come on now.
No, I do think that the Rockets and the Warriors are going to be at the top two. The Rockets are interesting. They might fall off. I don't know. They're a wild card to me. But and the Lakers, that's going to be spicy too to see what LeBron can do there. But yeah, if the Jazz can finish third in the West, That's a fantastic season.
Very much so. Speaking of the Warriors, if the Jazz beat the Warriors in game two of the season, then...
it's complete pandemonium in Utah. At that point, people are, not only are they naming babies Donovan Mitchell, they are going back and renaming other children that are already like 3 and 4 years old. They're calling him Spida. They're renaming him Donovan, things like that. Like full pandemonium. People are already hyped. If they get that win, I know it's early and it doesn't matter. People are going to be so on board. People are going to be getting Jazz tattoos. It's going to be on this season. The thing that happened last season that I thought was so fun, there were several big nights that the Jazz promoted. They had like a Star Wars night. They had a Friday night national TV game. There were about 5 or 6 nights that were really big, hype national TV, big opponent, a concept, some kind of a thing. And they came through all but I think one time. There were maybe 1 or 2 big games where they didn't come through. This is one of those big nights. And if the Jazz can get that win against the Warriors, home opener, all the hype in the world. And I know sometimes the Golden State Warriors like to sleepwalk through things. Who cares? I do not care. If the Jazz get that win, the hysteria in the state is going to be at an all-time high.
I know it's only the second game of the season, and I want to say, no big deal, whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's what I will say. Here's the good news. I think the TV people, the national TV people, they're going to look at that. And if they see the Jazz beating the Warriors that early in the season, I think what they're saying next is, can we get the Jazz to maybe replace a few of those later season games? If they're going to be that good, if they're going to be able to beat the Warriors, maybe we ought to put one of their other games on national TV instead of just keeping them on the local TV. And I'm not trying to say that local TV is bad, because it's great that we can see every single one of their games. But it's great when they are picked up by national TV, and the national TV people, they love the Jazz. So I think it would be a big deal. If the Jazz beat the Warriors that early in the season, I think the national TV people, ESPN, TNT, they're thinking, how can we get the Jazz on TV a little bit more later on in the regular season?
Well, now Jazz fans are going to have to get used to sharing Donovan Mitchell, too. I think Jazz fans have loved acting like everybody forgets us, nobody puts us on TV, SportsCenter leads with something else. There's a real kind of persecution complex among Jazz fans, and they're going to have to get over it, because not only do Jazz fans love Donovan Mitchell, the league loves Donovan Mitchell, and you're going to have to learn what it's like to share your superstar with other fan bases.
All right. If Derek Favors makes 30% of his three-pointers, then...
he's in the three-point contest.
That's a bit of a stretch there, Spencer.
No, then
could they have a big man three-point
contest? If he does that, awesome. I know every big man is always saying, every year there's the talk, oh, he's added a three-point shot to his game. But Derek Favors is entering a part of his career where the next 5, 10 years, if he can extend it like that, are going to depend on whether he can add that to his game. If he can be that guy that can kind of stretch it out, knock down those threes, it's going to be an incredible next chapter for his career. And I really hope he can make it happen.
If he can do that, then they are the 3 seed. They're really dangerous.
Absolutely. No, that puts him in another territory.
But the Jazz are in big trouble in the offseason, because then he's going to say, show me the money,
hey,
man.
Listen, he deserves to get paid. He's worked super hard. I love what he's done. He's been loyal to the team. He's improved. He's been the backbone of this team for so long. And if he can, the Jazz, before Donovan Mitchell came on the scene, they just could not score. They just did not know how to get a bucket. And adding somebody like that that could just bomb threes and stretch it out at his height, it would be incredible.
All right, last if-then question. If Ricky Rubio doesn't cut his hair, then...
no, he's got to keep his hair. What are you talking about? His hair is perfect. Why would you cut that?
I thought maybe you'd say like Samson or something like that. He'd be Herculean.
Oh, if he doesn't cut his hair.
If he doesn't cut his hair.
Oh, if he doesn't cut his hair, then the Jazz are protected, obviously, under the deal that he made with whatever god that he made his deal with. I mean, Ricky Rubio, I remember the stories in Slam Magazine when he was still in high school. He was coming over to the league. So exciting to see somebody that was kind of sort of the first international hip hop kind of generation player, and to see him finally be able to kind of do Ricky Rubio things on a winning team was so exciting to watch last year. And I just can't wait to see more of that this year.
I say if he doesn't get his hair, he turns into Teen Wolf. And I'm thinking in a good way. I'm not saying, you okay. know, it's just he's shaggy and he has hair all over the place. I'm saying
we're going to see him on State Street. Riding on top of a van, standing up.
That would be tremendous.
Okay.
Even more than that, He turns into this basketball madman, and no one can stop him. Oh, wait, the bad part about that is no one liked playing with Teen Wolf. Yeah, that's a bad comparison.
It falls all apart under inspection.
That is a really bad comparison. All right, we're going to take a short break here on the Jazz Notes podcast. When we come back, we're going to talk to Chris Dempsey. He writes for Nuggets.com, and he's going to be part of our 5 minutes or five questions. Unfortunately, I'm not sure we're going to live up to that 5 minutes thing, but he does talk a lot about Trey Lyles. That's coming up next here on the Jazz Notes podcast. All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. You probably haven't been away for a long time, but thanks for joining us. Thanks for downloading us. And joining us right now on the Jazz Notes podcast, his name is Chris Dempsey. He is a writer for Nuggets.com. He knows things. He knows everything about the Denver Nuggets, right, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely, I do.
Well, you know what, Chris? I thought I'd build you up before we tear you. No, I'm just teasing. We're not going to tear you down right now. We're not going to tear you down. No, but what we do is we're going to do this thing called 5 questions or 5 minutes. So we'll either ask you 5 questions or 5 minutes, whatever comes first. Everything talking about the Nuggets here. I'm going to have a little bit of music here. Let's see if this works. Last week. Okay, that'll at least tell us when our 5 minutes is up. Chris, first question that I have for you is this. You know, the Nuggets, they were so close to making the playoffs last year. I'm going to put you on the spot right off the top. Are they going to make the playoffs this year?
You know, obviously I'm a little bit biased on this, but I think they're ready. Let's put it that way. You know, you're talking about a basketball team that has missed the playoffs by one game in each of the last two seasons. They've improved. They improved, you know, two seasons ago to last season by 6 wins. I think they're ready. You know, they have, they used to be able to say to, you know, kind of to the world that, you know, this is a young basketball team coming up, and obviously it still has youth on it. But it's certainly, it's young players are growing up and becoming, you know, core veteran players. I mean, you're talking about guys like Gary Harris and Nikola Jokic, and Jamal Murray is going into his third year, and so he's obviously getting more acclimated to the NBA. You mix in guys like Paul Millsap, who obviously is a four-time All-Star and a veteran in this league. And, you know, I think what they've done is they've learned a lot of their lessons. They've learned some of those the hard way, you know, in terms of winning more games and being able to make a playoff push. But I think this team is absolutely ready to be in the playoffs.
Now, the question I have, I love it when there are former Jazz players, so many on another team that it's almost like the Jazz roster from a certain era is on another team. We've had Jazz Southwest, we've had Jazz East, now we've got Jazz Denver, a lot of former Jazz players. Who is the most important former Jazz player on the Nuggets roster this year?
The most important former Jazz player. I'm going to tell you what. Here's what I'm going to take that and twist it just a little. I think the Jazz player that will be talked about probably, I'm going to X Paul Millsap out of this just because he's such an established guy and he is very, very, very important to the team. I mean, that's probably the answer to your question is Paul Millsap, just from a veteran leadership and defensive standpoint. You know, the Nuggets obviously not one of the better defensive teams in the league by a long shot, and they're looking to improve that this year. But having Paul Millsap on the court for the majority of the season, he missed 44 games last year, is going to help a lot in that respect, just because of what he brings, on that end of the court. But I think Trey Lyles is going to be the Jazz former Jazz player that gets talked about the most, because I just, you know, what he was able to do last year in terms of improving and putting an all-around offensive game on the court was really remarkable in the time that he played, the few minutes that he played, the kind of inconsistent minutes that he played. And so I expect that to turn around and be a lot more consistent for him this year. And with those consistent minutes, I think we'll see a big jump in his production, kind of similar to what Will Barton did last year.
That's impressive. His exit from the Jazz wasn't exactly great, but I'm curious, do you see Jazz fans regretting him leaving the Jazz this year, by the way, the kind of season he puts together?
No, because Donovan Mitchell is on that team. That'll be, I think what Jazz fans will probably see is a player that they expected to see, you know, when he arrived in Utah. And I think they won't be surprised by his success. Anybody who thought when he came out of college he was going to be a successful NBA player, I think we'll start to see that in real big bunches this year. And so I don't think anybody will be surprised by that. But, you know, I think what the Nuggets really – what he was really able to do last season was obviously shoot from the perimeter. He knocked down about 38% of his threes, 39% of his threes. The post-up game I thought was pretty surprising to me. And he was very, very effective in a post-up game, could drive it to the rim. And then I thought, one of the more underrated defensive players on the team. And just, you know, there was just not a lot of playing time for him last year. There was a log jam at power forward, and they tried to slot him in at small forward a little bit, and that just didn't quite work out. And so, you know, the Nuggets offseason moves with him, you know, with them kind of clearing out some of that stuff on the roster, he's going to get a real opportunity. And quite frankly, guys, the Nuggets are going to need it off the bench. There's not much coming off the bench in terms of you know where points are coming from. And Isaiah Thomas will be one of those guys, and I think Trey Lyles will be counted on as another one of those guys.
We're almost to our 5 minutes here, but I have to ask you one more question. Playing off of what you talked about with Donovan Mitchell, the Nuggets have traded away 2 draft picks to the Jazz, and they've turned out to be wildly successful in Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. We hear about it a lot here. Is it talked about a lot over in Denver?
Not as much. You know, obviously some of the more cynical fans, you know, every time the Nuggets play the Jazz, I mean, that's a subject for some of the more cynical fans that it pops up for sure. Especially with the Donovan Mitchell draft pick, I just think we have to give Utah a lot of credit. There weren't a lot of NBA teams that identified Donovan Mitchell as a player that you should move up in the draft for and take. And as a matter of fact, there were none. It was Utah. And you know, and they saw something in the young man. He's probably exceeded those expectations, but they saw something in the young man that a lot of teams didn't. Otherwise, he's probably been a top 3 or 4 pick in that draft. And the way I view that is I give Utah a lot of credit for, you know, being able to see something in that player that was, you know, that merited, that warranted them moving up and putting a lot of faith in him. And that faith is totally being rewarded. And so, you know, from a standpoint of the Nuggets trading away a draft pick and that draft pick turning into a really good player, I think that's a situation that we see, you know, from time to time in the NBA overall. And, you know, it's just in this case, the player in question wasn't a, you know, a surefire top 5 pick by anybody's imagination. And so what Utah was able to do was really look at him and project and say, this guy can be really, really good, and then make the move to be able to go and get that young man. And I think, to me, that's where the emphasis ought to lie, is a lot of credit to Utah scouting staff and executive staff.
I love that. One last question. I know we're over time, but I want to squeeze one more in. I am a big Isaiah Thomas fan, and I'm intrigued by his career. He's a wild card on this team. I'm curious to know what you predict from him for this season.
Yeah, you know, but I think the biggest question with him is his health. You know, will he be able to play the majority of the season? Because I think if he does, we've seen what he is capable of. There's two things. One, we saw in Boston when he was completely healthy, he was, you know, he was an MVP candidate. I mean, he's a guy who scored 53 points in a playoff game for the Boston Celtics, for crying out loud, which is just unbelievable. And so when you know that that's the kind of player that you're getting, and you know that last season was just a lost season in terms of health. I mean, it was just so many issues with the hip and, you know, just not feeling right and not feeling well enough to be able to be himself. I just give him a total pass on that because of the injury situation. And when he comes back and, you know, to full health, I think the Nuggets have a really good player on their hands. And not only that, a player that's obviously very familiar with the head coach, Michael Malone. He coached Isaiah Thomas in Sacramento, and Sacramento was I think it was 2014. That was Isaiah Thomas's probably first real breakout year in the NBA, and he did that under Michael Malone. And so those two are really close. And I just think that that the Nuggets, you know, if he comes back to health, that's a real steal on the free agent circuit. And I know Isaiah Thomas himself has a big chip on his shoulder to be able to show everybody out there that he's healthy, and he is the player that we last saw very healthy in Boston.
Chris, you worked some overtime for us, so we'll put that on the timesheet, on the Jazz Notes timesheet. Don't worry, it's going to come out of Spencer's paycheck, so it's okay.
Wonderful. I'll take it all. Guys, I appreciate it. I love talking basketball.
No problem. Thanks a lot, and hopefully we'll see you when you come through Salt Lake.
Absolutely.
All right, that was Chris Dempsey from Nuggets.com joining us. We are way over time there, Spencer. Glad it's coming out of your paycheck.
No, that was a great conversation. And back to the Isaiah Thomas thing, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what he can do. The thought I had as he was talking about the injuries made me think of Ronnie Price. I mean, a guy who played way outside, way beyond what people expected him to do, and then all of a sudden had a terrible year and couldn't play. And I remember when he was on his way out from the Jazz, it was locker clean out. He'd had a year where he hadn't played much and he hadn't been able to do the things that he wanted to do. And he was telling me, just kind of one off as he was cleaning up, he wasn't bitter or anything, but he was just saying, I didn't forget how to play basketball. He's like, I haven't been able to feel my leg the entire year. And I think we do that sometimes with these players. They have a good year and then they don't. And we want to act like they forgot how to play basketball. And these injuries are such a big deal that, you know, you can't discount what it means for an elite athlete to all of a sudden have some sort of hip injury that he can't get it done, and especially a guy his size. So what Chris was saying about getting his coaching back that he had in Sacramento, he's on a team where they don't have a big bench. They're going to depend on him a lot. They've got some spicy players. They don't have a deep bench, but they have some spicy players. I kind of like what the Nuggets are going to do. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I do think they're going to be right there in the 9-10 spot, causing problems for some teams. And I think we're going to see some good performances from their top five.
I think the thing with the Nuggets that you have to keep in mind is just like what he said, they don't play a lot of defense. They're not a great defensive team. I mean, when your best player, Nikola Jokic, is out there and he's passing, you know, he's throwing dimes to everyone. By the way, he's a lot of fun to watch.
Right.
He is so much fun to watch. But the problem is that he's not a great defender, and this team's not a great defensive team, and I think that's what's going to hurt them. I don't know if there's so many teams that
Well, we know
right
Trey
there.
Lyles doesn't want to play defense.
He also doesn't want to practice a lot. Right. By the way, wasn't that let me tell you something fascinating. He wrote something recently, and meaning Chris, his bold prediction was, and he kind of talked about it, that Trey Lyles would average 15 points, 6 rebounds, shoot 50% from the field and 40% from three this season, and he thinks he's going to get a lot more minutes. And the one thing I think is interesting now is that is he going to replace Paul Millsap that much? And I guess it's going to depend on Paul Millsap's health, number one, because Paul does play defense, but he's also a little bit older, too.
He can't do it on his own. I think Trey Lyles is lucky to be able to be at this point of his career learning from a guy like Paul Millsap. If he could learn to emulate a lot of what Paul Millsap has done in his career, he'll be able to put together a nice career for himself. I think, you know, that's to be seen, but he would do well to kind of emulate what Paul Millsap has done. They've got some spicy players. I think they're going to be fun for a while, but without that bench, they're going to fade in games. They're not going to be able to finish out a lot of games. And in this league, if you can't defend, you're going to be in trouble. But what it does mean is they're going to have some exciting games. I'm going to love some kind of vintage Isaiah Thomas back again. And I love Jokic, you know, or not.
Jokic.
I always call him Jokic. The tennis player, who would also probably be good in the league.
Yeah, probably.
He's what? Is he 6'7", something like that?
Yeah, he's tall. I don't know how he
Let's
could
give
shoot.
Him a try.
I don't know how good he is shooting, but I bet you he could throw some great passes. You know what I like about him? I like Gary Harris. I like their guard line.
Mm-hmm.
I like their two guards. I like Gary Harris. I also like Jamal Murray. Yeah, they're a little bit undersized, but they're sure a lot of fun to watch. I like watching the Nuggets, but I agree with you. Whoa. Anyway, I agree with you that I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it just because of their defense. So we'll have to wait and see. All right, that's another Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks for joining us here. For Spencer, my name's Cleon. Thanks for downloading the show. Make sure you download us every week. We're going to have more shows as the season goes along, especially twice a week when the actual season starts. Won't just be Spencer and I. We're going to throw Jeremiah Jensen and also Alex Keery in here. We'll get the whole group together. We'll also hopefully get a lot more guests. So thanks for listening to Jazz Notes. We'll talk to you again soon.